Hello and welcome to Moving Kentucky Forward. I'm Bruce Maples, publisher of Forward Kentucky. We have recorded three podcasts on this Friday, January 7th, about the redistricting process in the Kentucky General Assembly. The first one was with Robert Connie, a data scientist who was actually able to create accurate maps out of the data that the Republicans provided, which did not actually include the precinct level data. Then there was Dee Pregliasco with Kentucky League of Women Voters, and we discussed with her how the league feels about the maps. And this last one is with Ben Carter, who is with the Kentucky Equal Justice Center, and we're talking with him about the legality of the maps. I hope you will give it a listen.
I'm speaking now with Ben Carter, who is senior counsel with the Kentucky Equal Justice Center. They have been doing some looking at the redistricting maps. Ben especially has been looking at them both from an equitable standpoint and from a legal standpoint. Ben, welcome to Moving Kentucky Forward.
Thanks, Bruce. Good to see you.
So let's cut right to the meat of the matter. I've spoken with Robert Connie about his analysis and with Dee Pregliasco with League of Women Voters about their thoughts. I know that you have done some thinking about the legality of the maps and whether or not they meet federal and state guidelines. So if somebody were to say to you, these maps are perfectly legitimate, they meet all the Voting Rights Act requirements and they're constitutional, what would you say?
Well, I think, first of all, I want to say you mentioned Robert Connie. We really, everyone owes Robert a huge debt of gratitude for doing the work that legislative leaders refused to do or required somebody like Robert to do, which is create the shape files necessary for election experts, data nerds, and the general public to really understand what the proposal is. We can all look at blobs of color on a map and guess at where the districts are and who might be affected and where the districts might move to and where they're moving from. But without those shape files, we're really operating in the dark. And Robert was able, being a data whiz and doing the work, to reverse engineer the shape files that the legislature should have produced months ago.
Right.
One of the primary things that I want to say to you, Bruce, and to your audience is the urgency that the entire community feels around this right now is 100% artificially generated. And, you know, the data from the census has been available for months. Republicans could have gotten together and decided what they wanted the maps to look like and what their proposal is and published their maps and publish the shape files underlying those maps so that everybody can understand and have time to review what the plan is, where are the lines moving from and where are they moving to. And now the fact that we're doing this in less than a week's time, and Robert was just able to generate the shape files on Wednesday, is 100% a failure of legislative leadership. And it's not a failure. I mean, it's designed that way, of course, but that's sort of what I want to say to begin with is as your listeners reflect on this, really think about what it means that Robert had to do the work to create the transparency. And we still don't know whether Robert's files are exactly accurate or what. It's his best effort, right? Based on what the bill language is and things like that. So it's very, very troubling and problematic that we're passing new legislative districts and congressional districts without step one of public transparency being done.
Right. I was struck when the maps first came out. They said, well, here's the old maps and here's the new maps and you can see the difference. And it's like, well, yeah, I like your reference, blobs of color. I can see the blobs of color, but I can't tell what this does to various communities, various groups. I can't tell who you've affected. Some people have done some analysis that shows that certain candidates were drawn out of their districts and certain incumbents were artificially somewhat kept in their districts. But let's go back to the opening question. I have spoken to two or three different lawyers over the last three or four days, and most of them have said, I don't see any basis on which to challenge these maps. Because supposedly gerrymandering, according to the Supreme Court, is no longer an issue for the courts. But I think that you might have a different opinion on that. So do you want to share that with us?
Sure. And what I would say is I'm just not prepared because we've had so little time to actually analyze the guts of what we think the proposal is based on Robert's shapefiles. I'm not prepared to give, I wouldn't be prepared myself to say there's no problem with the Voting Rights Act, or we don't think that majority minority districts are affected in a way that implicates federal protections at all, because we just have not had the chance to do that analysis. But regardless of whether these maps ultimately pass muster under federal protections, as you mentioned, Bruce, we know that the federal courts have sort of, the U.S. Supreme Court has said partisan gerrymandering is not something that is actionable under the U.S. Constitution and not something that we are going to protect people from. And to be very clear, partisan gerrymandering is something that everyone needs to be protected from, independent, Democrat, or Republican. Partisan gerrymandering rigs the system, creates a less democratic society, and rewards extremism in both parties. So right. If you're sitting there listening and you say, well, I'm just a moderate, like my views are just sort of middle of the road, you're hurt worst by partisan gerrymandering, because the chances that you get to vote for a moderate in whatever legislative district you might be voting for, it is reduced by partisan gerrymandering, because partisan gerrymandering means the primary is where the general election is, right? Whoever wins the primary is going to win the general election. And that means if you have enough people in one party to win an election, no matter who turns out, because the districts have been skewed, all the Democrats have been packed into a few districts in urban areas, and the Republicans have been spread out across every other district so that they win a bunch of seats by 55 to 45% vote margins, and Democrats win their seats 90 to 10, right? That's classic cracking and packing strategy. If that's what happens in Kentucky, and again, we don't know, right? But if that's what happens, whoever wins the primary is going to win that general election. And that means the extremes of both parties have an advantage in those primaries. Mm-hmm. And so partisan gerrymandering, I want to be very clear, is wrong no matter which party is doing it.
Right.
And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, in fact, found under their state constitution in 2018 that Pennsylvanians are protected from partisan gerrymandering under Pennsylvania's constitution. There's a provision in Pennsylvania's constitution that guarantees every Pennsylvanian the right to free and equal elections. And guess what? In Kentucky, we have the identical provision. Section 6 of Kentucky's constitution says Kentuckians have the right to free and equal elections. Hmm. And what was happening in Pennsylvania was every year or every congressional election after the 2010 census data and the redistricting that Pennsylvania Republicans did there, the vote totals across the state for Democrats and Republicans were roughly equal. I mean, sometimes Democrats would get 48% of all votes for congressional representatives, for congresspeople. and Republicans would get 53%. Sometimes it was 45 Democrat, 55 Republican. And because of the partisan gerrymanders in Pennsylvania, Republicans were winning 13 of the 18 congressional seats, while Democrats got 5.
Right.
Okay. And we see that happening in state legislatures all over the nation, where sometimes Democrats will win majorities of raw vote numbers and yet be in the extreme minority of the state legislature because of partisan gerrymanders. And again, I want to emphasize that's what's happening now because Republicans focused really hard in the last redistricting cycle on gerrymandering in Wisconsin, in Ohio, in Pennsylvania, in North Carolina, and were very effective at it. And so for the most part, those last cycle gerrymanders have benefited Republicans. I want to be very clear. Partisan gerrymandering is wrong no matter which party is doing it.
So if the Pennsylvania case, based on their state constitution, made a difference, I assume then that the court threw out the maps and they had to do something different.
The court threw out the maps and adopted their own maps, and the congressional delegation from Pennsylvania following that court case was split evenly. 9-8. Republicans had 9 Congress people and Democrats had 8 versus right. the 13-5. I'm getting my math wrong, but it was something along those lines.
So if we have the same phrase in our Constitution, could there not be a challenge to these maps based on that phrase?
Yes. And I wrote an op-ed about this in 2018 after the Pennsylvania case came out, basically saying in 3 years, this is what we are looking at. The federal courts do not recognize a partisan gerrymander as the violation of federal protections or the federal constitution. And nevertheless, we have our own separate state constitution with an identical provision in it. And we have to be thinking along these lines and expecting a partisan gerrymander. It was clear in 2018 that it was very unlikely that Democrats were going to have a split in the legislatures. It wasn't clear that we were going to have supermajorities in both legislatures in 2022, back in 2018. But, you know, it was a pretty solid bet that Republicans were going to be drawing the maps. It would not be surprising to me to discover that, in fact, the map drawers that created the shapefiles that drew these maps drew the maps in such a way to comply with the Voting Rights Act, to comply with the case law around voting rights under the federal constitution. Mm-hmm. Map drawers do that all over the nation, and they know exactly what the rules are because they're the rules that apply all over the nation. That would not be surprising to me. It also would not be surprising to me to discover that these maps are the advantage that Republicans have under the maps as we think they are, using Robert's data that he had to reverse engineer. Republicans have a dramatic advantage under these maps. I plugged in Robert's shapefiles into the Campaign Legal Center's plan score tool, which is a very tool that's available online. You can upload shapefiles and they will give you a rough estimate of how the partisan advantage to a map. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
And the way election law experts measure that is by something called voting efficiency, right? People get elected by winning 50% plus one of whatever constituency is voting that day. And so election law experts say any vote past 50% plus one for a particular district is an inefficient vote. It's a wasted vote.
Sure.
And so the way you measure the partisan advantage of a map is by measuring the difference between how many inefficient votes there are for Democrats versus Republicans under different map scenarios. And the Campaign Legal Center's plan score tool showed that in both the Kentucky House proposed maps, the Kentucky Senate proposed maps, and the congressional maps, all three of those contain heavy biases towards making Republican votes more efficient than Democratic votes across the state. So much so that the Campaign Legal Center's analysis suggested that Republicans would pick up about 2 to 3 or 2.66 to be exact, seats in Kentucky's state Senate, which is 38 members. So about 7% of all of the seats in the Kentucky Senate would be influenced or won by Republicans because of the partisan bias of these maps. And in the House districts, they would pick up about 8 additional seats under these maps than if Democrat and Republican votes were equally efficient across the state.
Sure.
Now, let me give you one caveat here, Bruce, and this is why it's important for everybody to stop, right? Republican legislative leaders created this situation where there is this fake or manufactured urgency around these maps. It is important to just stop. You've screwed it up. We need to live with these maps for the next year and try again next year. Give everybody the shape files, give us the proposed plans, and we can talk about this over the next year because this is too important to get wrong. And there's precedent for that. During the last redistricting cycle, the legislature didn't even take up redistricting in the 2012 legislative session. They sat on it, didn't act at all on the census data, and waited until the following session to pass the map. So the notion now that we have to do this because we've moved the filing deadline and we have to redistrict right now, false. It wasn't urgent 10 years ago when you waited a full year, a full cycle, and elected people under old maps. So why is it so urgent now? It is crucial that we understand how much of the difference in efficiency of Republican and Democrat votes in Kentucky is due to geography and how much is due to partisan gerrymandering, right? In Pennsylvania, the court recognized that there is going to be a certain amount of, let's say, natural inefficiency of votes when a party is densely packed in one particular geographical region.
Right.
That's in some ways unavoidable. So there's this sort of natural geographic unfairness, frankly, that arises out of the fact that Democrats, there tend to be more Democrats in densely populated urban areas and more Republicans evenly distributed across the rest of the state. That is not partisan gerrymandering. I mean, we know for a fact that, you know, millions of people can vote for a Democratic senator in California, and that Democratic senator's vote counts just as much as the Republican senator from Wyoming that was elected by 300,000 people voting in Wyoming. There is in our system a certain tolerance for prioritizing votes based on geography, or making votes more meaningful based on geography. However, we need to have the time, everybody, to get the analysis done to determine how much of the 8 seats that Republicans will pick up because these maps prize Republican votes more than Democrat votes across the maps. How much of those 8 seats are the result of geography and the distribution of voters across our state, and how much of it is partisan gerrymander? Because in Pennsylvania, the courts found that hardly any of it was geography, and most of it was explainable as a result of partisan gerrymander. And we just cannot tolerate that in a democratic system.
So to wrap it up, would your message to everybody be, instead of the message we hear from some people, which is slow down, we need to take a little more time to do this. It sounds to me like your message is no, we need to stop right now, put this off, stop playing into this fake narrative of urgency and do this right for the people of Kentucky. Would that be accurate?
These maps are going to determine the ceiling and floor of what policies are available to Kentuckians for the next 10 years. Whether you care about what your taxes are, whether you care about the environment, whether you care about whether Kentuckians have enough food to feed their families, staying safe in a pandemic, the right to organize and unionize, whatever your particular issue is, this is foundational. And it is too important to rush through in a week's time at the beginning of a legislative session, especially when one, there's precedent for waiting a year, and two, we need to wait that year because of the decisions that legislative leaders made to create a fake crisis.
Okay.
We could have been having this discussion in November, you know, and done the analysis and determined how much of the bias is based on geography and how much of it is the result of a partisan gerrymander, and had that conversation then. And now it is too late, in my opinion, and legislative leaders need to stop. We'll focus on it next session. Maybe there won't be a pandemic going on then, and we can focus on the budget and other things this session.
Okay. And perhaps if they don't stop, maybe there will be some people that ask them to stop legally.
We don't know. We don't have that analysis yet because we've only had Robert's shapefiles for 2 days, right?
Right.
But in Pennsylvania, with the same constitutional provision, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said you cannot prioritize one Pennsylvanian's vote over another based on party and still comply with our guarantee of free and equal elections.
Ben Carter, senior counsel with Kentucky Equal Justice Center, whose message is just stop and let's do this right. Thank you for being with us and thank you for your time.
Thanks, Bruce. Great talking with you as always.
That was Ben Carter, senior counsel with the Kentucky Equal Justice Center, sharing his thoughts on the maps that the Republicans have dropped for redistricting. I want to thank all of our guests, Robert Connie, Dee Pregliasco, and Ben Carter, for sharing their thoughts with us on the redistricting process and what needs to be fixed about it. I also want to apologize for the sound quality on some of these podcasts in an effort to get them recorded and put up today on Friday, January 7th. We didn't have time to fix some of the audio issues that I know were there. We will do better with that in our next one. I hope these were helpful, and if they were, feel free to share them with others, and we'll be back next week. Thanks. Good night.